Here we are, Story of God Pod.
Is that what we're going to call it? That,
no, no one wanted that name. No. But if you don't name something, I eventually just, you know,
yeah,
I'll name it. And
I'm
just,
glad we're not calling it that.
You call it that Story of God Cast? Just send in your ideas. Send in your ideas. Dan, this week we're continuing through Mark, and you kind of had an interesting two passages. Mm-hmm. And one of the passages you talked about was when Jesus goes back to his hometown, and they're like, Jesus, we know you. Mm-hmm. Come on, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, go to your hometown. Too many people know you. And
you grew up here, right?
I did. There's a lot of ladies like, we changed your diaper. I'm like, ain't no respect in your hometown.
I have had people in my office say that. You know, I had Eden in the nursery. I thought, that's pretty cool.
Sometimes I think people think I'm someone else. They'll tell a story. I'm like, I don't think that was me. But that I won't tell them. That's okay.
I am so glad that I'm not with any of the old ladies who knew me growing up.
But you talked about, yeah, you escaped all the myrtles. But you were talking about how Jesus offends and Jesus sends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have I ever offended you, Dan?
Yes. Yes, and right here on the
Story
of God pod, we're going to have a confrontation. When I first met him, he was 15, 16 years old in the drum kit, and yeah, I was brand new pastor here. They used to tell me, I did everything they told me to do. Turn on your mic, we'll mute it in the back. Turn on my mic, mute it in the back. During the singing part, I would look up into this young face, and occasionally you would make a weird face at me. Finally, one day, I'm like, I gotta know what that's about. And this young man, Pastor Aiden, you told me the weird face is that I sing pretty bad.
Pretty bad. You can,
and it has bothered me to this day.
Has it?
No.
We could go talk to Pastor Bob about it. Yeah. You get like the little things, you can hear all things in your ears. And so your mic would come through. And so me and my friends would just turn you up and laugh. We're like, you hear how bad he is? Like, he's turning up all the way. Because you're just praising the Lord.
I stood beside a guy in college one time. We were singing a hymn or something. And he said, dude, you sound like a dead horse when you sing. Which doesn't make sense, right? A horse that's dead doesn't make any noise. But anyways, that's pretty bad.
In college, Adam said he had friends who wouldn't sit within a chair of him. But I love it. Sing loud. The worse you are, the better it is, man.
That's Adam and I, when we're up front together, we sing loud and proud, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good sitting between the two of you. It's wonderful. Man, forgive me. I got something in my eye last night. And
I didn't mean to make you cry letting you know that. You know?
I just didn't know I offended you so much. I like that. Well, you talked about this week how Jesus will offend and send, mm-hmm. and how for all of us there's different way Jesus offends us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might be worth if we're like, oh, I don't really feel offended by Jesus. Maybe mm-hmm. we're not. It's like you meet with a couple, like, we never fight. You're like, mm-hmm. maybe you guys need to get into it a little more. You know, mm-hmm. maybe you're not talking like you should. So if we're not offended by Jesus, maybe we don't have the depth of a relationship that we think mm-hmm. we do. But what would you say is the difference? You addressed this on Sunday. I think it's important for all of us. The difference between being offensive because the gospel message is offensive. Mm-hmm. The gospel message says, you're a sinner. Like, you're sinking. Mm-hmm. You need saved. So there's a lot of that. There's a way to live. There's a lot of challenging things about the gospel. But then sometimes you talk to a lot of people, Christians can just be offensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about myself. It's easy to think of other people. I remember having a conversation with a family member years ago. It's always years ago. Keep rewinding, yeah. Like decades, man, the 70s. And I remember we were having a conversation, and instead of me asking questions, I was kind of being like a opinionated little brother on some of this mm-hmm. stuff. And I remember getting out of the car being like, that wasn't helpful at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, there was a thing we were disagreeing on, but I was just being a jerk about it, mm-hmm. you know? And what would you say is the difference? How do we know when we're not letting the gospel be offensive because it is to call people to repentance mm-hmm. and when we're being the barrier of being offensive?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I actually have gotten a lot of email communications about that, mm-hmm. just further inquiry. So I think it's something that we're not used to wrestling with. I think the first thing, the place that my mind goes to is I got to first do some introspection and say, where has this thing offended me? Where yeah. have I allowed? And you know, if a different word helps you figure this out, but the fact of the matter is I need it to offend me.
Yeah.
Or else the gospel isn't good news. It starts with some bad news. I'm a sinner. I'm separated from God. I'm worse than I thought I was. But there's a God who loves me and knows all of that. And Paul says the cross offends, and so the message of the gospel starts with this thing of the cross says I can't save myself. The cross says I'm not good enough. Well, I think I'm a good guy. you know? And so I got to start there. And then the message of Jesus that he calls us into this right side, I call it a right side up kingdom in an upside down world. We are so used to Aiden living in an upside down world that when somebody has a right side up message, it can feel offensive.
Yeah.
Because we want to hang on to the upside down way. I always use the illustration when my son Aaron played Old Maid when he was 4 or 5. He always wanted to end up with the Old Maid. And I said, dude, I didn't call him dude. I said, Aaron, I said, if you hang on, you're going to lose every time. And he couldn't get it. He wanted the Old Maid. And so he lost every time. And I think we live in an upside down world and we want to hang on to the upside down way. Hmm. And I think Jesus is like, you'll lose every time.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I want that. That's what I'm used to. That's what I'm. And so I think I got to start there. And if somehow I'm being offensive and it isn't rooted in the message of Jesus or the method and spirit of Christ, then there's something wrong with what I'm communicating and demonstrating.
Yeah.
And I think it's where a lot of us go wrong. Like, a lot of times what we offend people with is opinions, if we're honest. And you know what we have the audacity to do is to attribute them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, the message of the cross is offensive, and so I got to know, have I let it confront me? Have I humbled myself under its message and the authority of Christ? Well, then I'm going to go with a different spirit.
Yeah.
Right? So the way I deliver that message is going to be in the spirit of that message.
Yeah.
And so if that message offends, it's not going to be because I delivered it in a way that was antithetical to the message.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
Yeah.
And I think we get that upside down sometimes. We deliver the message of a God who loves us, came to rescue us, forgive us, can't save yourself kind of message. We deliver it in a way that sounds arrogant, opinionated, condemning. Well, if I read my Bible right, John 3:16 has verse 17 after it. God didn't send him to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Yeah.
And so that, for me, I got to start here. Yeah. And I think when it does its work in me, it wrestles that stuff to the ground.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go forth with a message. I realize it might offend some people, but I'm going to go forth in the spirit and method with which Christ brought that message.
Yeah. Yeah, the spirit of those things feels so important. Because for any of us, you know, if anybody's like, hey, you're doing a bad job at that, you should do better. You're like, I don't care what you said. Versus like asking questions versus in the context of relationship, the spirit by which I'm saying those things. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. Like all the time. What is my relationship with the person? Do they care what I have to say?
Exactly.
Sometimes we can say things that you're like, well, I didn't really ask, and I don't really have a relationship with them. All those, I love how you said the spirit of all those things are of most importance. We talk kind of the two sides, not two sides of the coin, double barrel. It's more of a double barrel shotgun than two sides of a coin. Yeah, was the sending piece. And now I think that, and the analogy of we're all sent, which is it doesn't just change what we do, but it changes how we see ourselves. I'm going to speak on behalf. I was talking to some people this week in one of our groups, and we were just dialoguing about this. And maybe I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of us. A lot of people, when we say, like, you're sent to go, what we think of, or maybe like these different pictures that come to our mind is like, okay, I have to be an evangelist. I have to have the answers. There's a very realness of fear. You're going to talk to somebody, and you're like, they have all this background about church, and I sound just like that person. I don't want to sound like that person. There's different relational context. How do I have this conversation with this family member? It can feel like salesy sometimes. Like I have to give a pitch, you know? I think many people, I was in a group and we raised our hands and everybody raised their hands of who feels like you don't feel like you know enough. Or sometimes that's like a thing inside of us is you feel like you're going to be on the street and it's going to be someone who has three of the deepest questions about God ever. When we talk about being sent, Jesus sends out the disciples. He's with them. And now he says, go. So you invited the church to see ourselves as sent. You asked us who, how, and when. Can we just talk practically for a second for the person who's listening who's like, okay, sent. I have to go be sent. I got to pitch the sales pitch. I got to seal the deal. I got to knock on the door. There's all these barriers. What would you say to someone who is like, I have fear. I don't feel like I know enough. I don't know how to do this. How would you talk to that person? Help them kind of look at it a little differently.
Well, I mean, I think that first thing I'd say is welcome to the club.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what I would say. I think sometimes Aiden people can probably look at people like you and I and just assume, well, I bet you guys are sharing Jesus in Walmart and everywhere you go. And it's like, that's just not the case, mm-hmm. right? Like, it can be a battle and a struggle, and you can, you can kind of succumb to your own fears and second-guess yourself. I think my best shot at that, Ian, because I think it's a great question, and there's nothing that I think spells inauthenticity better than a sales pitch, you know? Like, you show up, knock on the door, I've never seen you before. It's like,
never tell you, we were at TJ Maxx once, there was this couple, I was wearing a Grace College shirt, and they said, "You go to Grace College?" I said, "Well, I go to Grace Church." They said, "Oh, that's a..." We had great conversation, exchanged numbers. We were going to get lunch sometime. And then he texted me and said, "Hey, if ever you got a minute, I would love to talk to you about..." And I got had, man, by some sales guy in TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. You're like, none of us want that, right? Yeah. I would replace, so I feel like an alliteration guy here, I would replace pitch with presence and purpose.
And he does this all the time. The time he does this.
I don't know about all the time, but when you were talking, this came to my mind. I honestly think that if we as followers thought more about the constant presence of Jesus, it makes prayer make sense, for one.
Yeah.
So prayer isn't just what I do in the morning, but it's this constant awareness and practicing his presence. And then this acute awareness of my purpose, that I've been saved to be sent. It doesn't mean I'm going to go do a sales pitch. I think what it means is if I've truly experienced the gospel the way it was intended to be experienced, that it's gonna bring about this transformation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to work different. Yeah. You know, the more I grow in my relationship with Christ, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do all to the glory of Christ. And I think what Peter says is when the opportunity comes, I'm going to be ready to give an answer for the hope that I have. And all of us feel like, I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I – but when that question comes, I think I can look at somebody and say, I'd be happy to share with you my experience. We deal with all kinds of things. People get excited about a hobby and like, hey, man, let me tell you about my hobby. Yeah. Changed my life. I now am into this or that or whatever. You want to join me in this, you know? And I'm not saying Jesus is a hobby. I'm saying if it truly makes a difference in our life, saves us, I think it's simply inviting people in. I think I can do it in a way, and I have people in my life like this, where I'm like, I'm happy to share that with you, and this is what is true about my experience in my life, and this is what I think God says in the Bible, and I love you. Hmm. Whether you agree or not, I think the problem is when we get coercive or we try to twist arms or we try to seal the deal, to use the sales pitch thing. I don't think it's our responsibility to coerce, guilt into, but I think it's to sow the seed of the gospel through the way we live, and I think even more so because a lot of us are like, I just live like a good Christian. It's like looking for opportunities to share, and I think that's where we get quiet, and I think the challenge is this. We've been sent with a message that has ramifications, so I don't think it's a sales pitch, but I think when I recognize he's with me, this is my purpose. There's an acute awareness. We use that terminology on Sunday. Then all of a sudden, I realize the way I do my work matters. Right? Christ is here. He's changing me. He's changing the way I'm going to show up early. Why? Because I'm going to do everything to the glory of God, for the good of the gospel. And then when the opportunities come, I'm going to share with you if the gospel made a difference in me. Let me tell you how.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to join me in this, and I don't want to. I love you, man.
Yeah.
We don't love people in order to get them saved. I remember back in a day when it's like, hey, let's go do good in our community so that we can get people saved. We love people because we are saved, because we are Christians.
That's a tweet.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that opens up opportunities to share with them. Well, what in the world's going on? Let me tell you about Christ. And so let me just go clear full circle. People who have that concern, that, like, thank you for being honest about that.
Yeah.
Because I do as well. I grew up, they taught us how to go door to door and with this memorized thing. And I've had so many doors shut in my face. And I'm like, And, you know, the older I've got, I'm like, I understand that, particularly in the day and age we live. Some bald dude shows up and says, hey, I got something to talk to you about. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Like, yeah, later, right? I get it. So I don't know this pitch. I think it's like presence. He says, I'll be with you always. Now go make disciples.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, purpose. And when I get that, it's an acute awareness.
Yeah. One of the things that you talked about before was even just the questions. Jesus is always asking questions. So in mm-hmm. your conversations, I love it. There's something about that, the presence. Like when we have a neighbor. He doesn't have the internet or anything, so he'll never hear this in his entire life. But we love him. And we're always like, what is the conversation with him? What does that look like? But knowing, like, Jesus, you're with me right now. If you'd have a door, walk through, would you open a door? Like that awareness. Mm-hmm. You always talk about questions. You know, we always feel like a ready defense is important, you know, in those conversations, mm-hmm. but sometimes a ready question.
Yeah.
Hey, why has that been hard for you? Mm-hmm. Hey, tell me about that story. I bet that was hard, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That is cool. Was that kind of a moment that changed your life? Mm-hmm. Now, where did that kind of belief come from? Was that your parents do that kind of stuff? Whatever. Yeah. And you're interested in them. And then if someone says, yeah, well, what about you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now we were talking about our group last night, just even going back to the question, like, why do you love Jesus? Because if I feel the pressure, if I got to be sent, but I don't really know, I'm in my heart. And sometimes that's a daily, weekly thing, to be mm-hmm. reminded of those things of, mm-hmm. this is why I love Christ. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bubbling out and us knowing that, or else it does feel like it drifts into this fearful pitch.
Yeah, there's two things you said that I think are so important. The first one is this, I think the importance of questions. We both are familiar with a book called Questioning Evangelism.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus asked tons of questions. And I'd recommend that book to you.
Yeah.
It's not questioning whether we should do it. It's like how evangelism happens just through asking questions. I think sometimes we feel this pressure to give all the answers. Like, we got to tell you, make
sure.
a point.
Sure.
And we make a point, don't make a difference. I don't know who the guy is that originated that quote. But I think sometimes questions get you further down the road because a question begins to expose the heart where you're leaning the ladder of your life. And so, and Jesus illustrated it for us. And then it opens a door for maybe me to share something with you. So I do think a well-timed, placed question, and then the second question, and listening to their, because people have a story. I think this. I love what you challenged your group to do. I love that because I don't have to ask you very many questions about your boys. You love them, like it's your life. You experience them. And so every day there's a new experience and there's this ongoing relationship and, you are their father. It identifies who you are and part of what you do. And, I think that with Jesus, like, I don't believe salvation is just like this fire insurance prayer we pray.
Yeah.
He invites us into a family of followers and the following is simply into this right side up way of living. And the more I cultivate that relationship, it's like it's experienced. It identifies me. It's who I am. It's something that I want to cultivate. It's not like it's always going great.
Yeah.
It's not always going great with your boys, you know, but it's every day.
Yeah.
And you experience it. That's the presence part to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's so real and robust that it's part of who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
part of the identity. And so the identity lends itself to purpose.
I love that. Keep tuning in with us. If you guys ever have questions,
yeah,
you know, email, call, text, just catch us in the lobby. I had a great conversation with someone with some follow-up questions from last week, Demon Sermon. We had a great conversation.
That's hope. Awesome.
I hope. I don't always have answers, but I have responses, right? Q&R is a little more of that. But
or if you think I'm a really good singer, text and email.
We'll see you guys next week.